top five, top three, top two quarterbacks ever from the Canadian Football League. He is Warren Moon. Warren, good morning, man. Thanks for doing this. How are things?
Doing pretty good. Good morning to you. And it is a beautiful day here in Seattle, and it's too bad I can't get outside and really enjoy it the way I want to with all this coronavirus going on. But I understand the importance of it and trying to stay isolated and do all the other little rules to keep everybody safe so we can get back with our lives here pretty soon.
Yeah, I hear you. So what jigsaw puzzles? Are you a video gamer? Are you playing cards? What do you keep busy?
None of the above. I've watched a lot of replays of old sporting events that I know the outcome of, so they're not as exciting, but they're still, it's great to watch the competition. I've gotten into a little bit of Netflix. I've watched some Ozarks, really enjoy that. And just doing some spring cleaning, trying to get rid of stuff that I've had around here for years that I'm finally getting rid of. So I'm trying to make it as productive as I can.
Well, I've never had a chance to talk to you, so this is a treat for me. And like I say, I appreciate this. I just want to go back into the time machine. You talk about old sporting events. I'm curious back when Warren Moon was in college and hears about the Edmonton Eskimos, the Canadian Football League. Did you have any idea at the time where Edmonton was on a map or what the CFL was about?
You know, I knew what the CFL was about because a lot of the guys that I idolized when I was in high school and junior high school, I knew they had gone up there to play, like a Condridge Holloway and a Chuck Ealy and a Jimmy Jones and you know, guys like that. But you never really heard a lot about what they were doing up there because we didn't have access to either watch the games or we didn't get the stats or anything like that. But I knew they had all gone up there. I did not know where Edmonton was as far as on the map was concerned. I had heard of it because of the hockey team, but I didn't know much about the city itself. So I had a quick study in it when I found out that Hugh Campbell was interested in wanting to sign me, and I did as much research as I could, and then I got a chance to come up and visit and see what the city was like, and just really, really fell in love with the football atmosphere, the way the whole city just kind of gravitated towards the football team.
What time of year did you come up to Edmonton? I'm curious.
Oh, it wasn't a favorable time, believe me. It was, I think it was in February, and they were just building Commonwealth Stadium, getting ready for the Commonwealth Games, so we weren't going to play there for the first part of the season. So I got a chance to see what it was going to look like, but I also got a chance to see where I was going to play my first few games and wasn't too excited about that. But once we moved into our new building, it was one of the best places to play in Canada. So I knew it was just a matter of time, but it was kind of a shock because there was snow probably up 6 feet high when I got there on the football field. You couldn't even see the field. You could just see the stands and see what was being built. But, it was kind of a shock. It was very, very cold.
Credit to you. You didn't call Hugh up and say, I'm out. I'm out. Get me out. No chance.
I didn't. You know, I had played in Seattle. I played in the rain. So I felt like, okay, this is just another progression, going from California up to the rain, and now I'm going up to the cold.
So then you come to Edmonton. You have some very skilled people, some very skilled quarterbacks around you, and it's amazing to go. We were talking about it earlier on in the show. To win back to back is something special. Three in a row. You just don't see it happening. You guys went five straight from 78 till 1982. Every year hoisting the Grey Cup. Tell me what it was about, and I know you were a big part of it, but what was it about those teams that made it so special?
You know, we were a very close-knit team, and I don't mean just close on the field. I mean off the field. We did a lot of things together as a team. We had team dinners, team barbecues, all types of activities where all the guys would show up. It wasn't like, a few of the guys would show up. I mean, everybody showed up with their kids and their wives, and, it was one of those family atmospheres where everybody got to know each other very well. So when we came onto the field, you know, we had a great time in the locker room. We joked around a lot. We did a lot of practical joking. And then we just kind of had a feeling about each other when we got on the field that we knew exactly what game time was all about and then what crunch time was all about when we got in those games. And if it became down to a close football game, we all just had a look that we could look at each other and say, okay, it's time to turn it up a notch and go get it done. And that's a great feeling to be on a team that has that type of communication amongst one another, that we can just turn up our game to another level when we need to and get the job done. And when you're a champion like that many times in a row, you know you're going to face everybody's best game every time you come into a stadium, especially on the road, because they want to knock you off and say that they beat the champs. So we knew we had to be at a certain level every time we went out there to play.
What was your relationship like with Tom Wilkinson? He was the other quarterback there. You guys kind of shared duties for a while, and I'm guessing not every quarterback wants another guy to come in and possibly take away his opportunity, his playing time, the star, the star status, the symbol kind of thing. What was your relationship like with Wilkie?
You know, he really welcomed me with open arms, and that was something that really made my transition very easy, making sure that he knew that I was going to be the guy that was the heir apparent to him, but he wasn't ready to relinquish that. Actually, my rookie year, he was up for the Schenley Award for Outstanding Player in the League. That's what type of year that he had. So yeah. I like to tell him all the time that I pushed him to become the best player that he could be. But but I learned so much from him, and it was only because he was so open to me as far as teaching me the personnel of the league, teaching me little nuances of the rules, all those different things when we sat in film study. So I learned so much just by watching him and by listening to him, and he would answer any question that I had for him to go along with him having one of his best seasons. So it was a great relationship, and I really enjoyed playing with him. He made my transition so much easier.
We're on the phone with Warren Moon, CFL and NFL great, here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Will?
Warren, I know it's obviously easier now in today's day and age with ESPN's broadcast deal with the CFL, but do you keep much eye on the current state of the CFL? Do you find yourself watching any Canadian ball these days?
Yeah, I really do, and that's what's great about ESPN televising the games. I think they usually come on down here on Friday nights, it keeps me up on the league. I always have kept up with what Edmonton is doing, regardless if I'm looking at the rest of the league or not. But because you can now watch it on television more often, I definitely get a chance to watch some of the teams play. And definitely am always interested in who's going to win the Grey Cup, because that's the championship game. So I'm glad that the league is still relatively healthy. They have a nice TV contract with ESPN and TSN, and I'm glad the players are getting another opportunity to have somewhere to showcase their talents, because the CFL was definitely an option for me coming out of college when I wanted to go to the NFL, but that wasn't going to happen, so I had that opportunity to come to the CFL, and there's a lot of other players that benefit from that as well.
Well, obviously the CFL on pause right now, like the rest of the world. Your thoughts on what a 2020 season could look like? How many games would you have to play as a player? If you're put yourself back in a player's shoes, how many games would you have to play to have a legitimate season? Can they get it in this year?
It'd be great if they could get maybe 12 games in, if not more. But they have an 18-game season now, where it was only 16 when I was up there. But if they could get at least three quarters of the season in, that would be great. The good thing about football is it starts a little bit later this year, anyway, just because of the type of just because of the sport. It's a fall sport, but the CFL starts a little bit earlier, like in I think in July or June or July. So that hampers it a little bit as far as whether we're going to be able to get back to normal by that time. But like I said, if they could get at least 12 games in, I think that would be a legitimate season to give every team an equal opportunity to try and make the playoffs, and then you take the playoffs from there.
I know for sure you're still dialed in on the NFL, and I know you've been active on Twitter and free agency and everything that's happened with that league. Just first off, I guess your thoughts. We don't know what we're going to see in 2020, if they're going to get their season in, and what that looks like here come the fall. But just curious your thoughts on the expanded playoff and the move to a 17-game schedule.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting, especially for the teams that there's going to be two less teams that will get a bye the first week of the season. So what happens in the NFL, especially with a longer season now with 17 games, that's just more wear and tear on your body. And so many teams look forward to that bye week. It used to be four, now it's only going to be two. So it's going to be the kind of a survival of the fittest. Who's going to be the most banged up at the end of the season? Who has the least amount of injuries? Because you want to go into those playoffs as fresh as you can and having all your key players available to you. So that's going to be interesting, seeing that there's two less teams that are going to get a bye, and then there's one more game you're going to have to play in the season, which, like I said, adds to that wear and tear and possibility of injuries.
You obviously won a ton of championships, as we discussed, in the CFL. A man who's done that as much in the NFL and obviously over a longer period of time with more teams. But just curious your thoughts on Tom Brady and his move to Tampa.
I was really not shocked, but almost kind of sad that he couldn't finish his career out in New England, because as a player, most players want to end their career where they started if they can. But they also understand it's a business. And when you play that long somewhere, most players don't play 20 years, especially in one place. So he got a chance to at least do that and create a legacy that will never be changed. But I guess he just felt like it was time for him to move on. And he still wants to play. And I guess the Patriots have plans to move forward with younger players. So he's going to start in Tampa. And Tampa's got a tremendous amount of talent on their football team as far as the weapons that they have on offense, and then their defense really came on at the end last year. So if Tom can come in there and just settle things down, because their quarterback, Jameis Winston, threw a lot of interceptions last year, something Tom doesn't really do. So if he makes them more efficient, he doesn't have to throw for 5,000 yards like Jameis did, but if he throws anywhere around 4,000 yards and cuts those interceptions down probably to about 10 or 12, they're going to be a team that's going to be right there knocking on the door for the playoffs, I think.
You mentioned Jameis. He's obviously still looking for work, as is Cam Newton. I know that injuries have certainly hampered his career a little bit, but he is still electric and can help a team out. Are you surprised Cam Newton is still out there, and where do you think he could play in 2020?
You know, I'm not surprised only because they didn't release him in Carolina until almost after the main free agency period was over. So there wasn't a lot of teams left for him to go to, because teams had already filled their quarterback slots when he finally got free. And that was kind of unfortunate. But if he's healthy, Cam Newton's going to definitely help some football team out, because he's one of the more dynamic players in this league. But I think people are really concerned about that injury to his foot, the injury he had to his shoulder a couple of years ago. And so they can't see him right now because of this whole virus thing. People can't travel around. And then also Cam brings a huge personality to whatever football team he comes to. He's not the typical quarterback. You know, he's flashy. He likes his fashion and his hats and his hairstyles and all those different things. So that's something that an organization would have to want to buy into, that this is going to be the leader of our football team, and we can accept that. So I don't think a team is going to bring him in until they can actually sit him down and talk to him and get a chance to know his personality before they make such a big commitment in a player at the quarterback position.
My final one for you, just as on the team that you kind of, you know, the same city you reside in, a team you watch very closely. Just curious your thoughts on the Seahawks. And obviously, you can't go very far without talking about Russell Wilson. But also at the same time, the connection he's made, we talk about Brady and Belichick, obviously not the same extent on the championship front. But the connection between Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson is one that's very, very strong. Just your thoughts on the current state of the Seahawks.
Yeah, they were a team that kind of surprised a lot of people last year. You know, they won 11 games and went to the playoffs and won one round into the playoffs. So they feel like with a young team that they had last year, all the experience that they gained off of last year with all those young guys, and then you add a few pieces in this offseason, they've really done a nice job of building up their offensive line during free agency. And I think they have 10 or 11 draft picks coming up here in this draft. And John Snyder, general manager, loves to draft. He loves to develop players, and that's something they've done a great job of. So if he does a great job in the draft, as he always does, along with the players they picked up in the offseason and free agency, this is going to be another team that's going to be knocking on the door for the Super Bowl, because when you have a quarterback like Russell Wilson, he always gives you a chance to win football games, and that's a luxury to have, a quarterback that always gives you a chance to win every Sunday.
Warren Moon is our guest, of course, CFL and NFL great. I just want to kind of dip back to your career. You had a very impressive college career. It took a while, but you go to University of Washington, you win a Rose Bowl, you win the Rose Bowl MVP, and yet you still go through an NFL draft, 12 rounds of it undrafted. Have you been able to, I mean, it doesn't matter now, right? Water under the bridge kind of thing, but it had to have stung. It had to have been very disappointing for you. What was, I mean, how were you not selected?
Well, the main reason that I didn't get drafted is because I had already committed to go to Canada prior to the NFL draft. So you have to make your decision to go to Canada before the NFL draft because the season starts earlier. So I was 6 weeks before the NFL draft, I decided I was going to go to Canada because I wasn't getting information from teams that I was going to be drafted as a quarterback, and it was probably going to be later in the draft if I even got drafted. So that was one of the reasons I didn't get drafted. Otherwise, I would have been drafted probably somewhere. I just don't know what position I would have played. So I'm kind of glad I didn't get drafted because when I did go to Canada, I knew that if I ever wanted to come back and play in the NFL, I would be a free agent. And there wasn't free agency in football at that time, so it put me in a position where I could pick where I wanted to go play and pick the best situation for me. So it turned out really well, but in the beginning, I was more dejected that I knew I wasn't going to get a chance to play quarterback in the NFL. That's why I decided I was going to go to Canada because they were going to give me that opportunity to play quarterback, and that's what I really wanted to do. I felt like I could be a big-time quarterback in the pro game, and it's just a matter of somebody giving me the opportunity. The Edmonton Eskimos did that, and I'll always be indebted to them for that.
Well, you might be the last player that's ever chosen the CFL over the NFL draft. Not a lot of that happening.
I had to be logical at the time, you know, that and I had to be realistic that this is what's going to happen for me. So my attorney and I, you know, we laid down the pros and cons, and the pros said go to Canada.
So what did NFL teams, what position were they expecting you to play?
They were going to move me to either wide receiver or defensive back. That was the most of the talk that we heard, and I had never played either one of those positions. So I played a little defensive back in high school, but it had been a long time. So I knew I wasn't going to make it in the NFL if I had to change positions. So I wanted to play the position I was comfortable with that I had played since I was 11 years old, and I knew I could be successful at it. So it was just a matter, like I said, of opportunity. And whoever was going to give me that opportunity, I was going to try and make the most of it.
Had they seen you throw the football?
No, you know, teams didn't even come out and give me individual workouts or anything like that, and they felt like I wasn't coming out of a pro-style offense because we didn't run a pro-style offense at the University of Washington. We were more play-action, and I ran some option and different things like that. But, yes, I could throw the football. That was my strength. But again, if nobody's coming out to watch you throw, they don't know what abilities you do have.
Well, I saw here, and it may or may not be true, but prior to 1989, Warren Moon signs a 5-year deal worth $10 million, making him the highest paid player in the NFL at that time. You were just about two and a half decades too soon, because if you were the highest paid player, you'd be a very rich man today.
Yes, I would, and I'm happy for all these young guys for the money that they're making. I just want to make sure that they understand what guys went through to get the game to where it is today, and appreciate the guys that played the game before them. Otherwise, that's just the way football goes. You know, the salary is going to continue to increase as the game becomes more popular, and the more money they can make, I'm happy for them.
And last one, I just want to kind of double back. Will had asked you about Cam Newton. I know you kind of have a special relationship. You've worked alongside and with him. Is he a misunderstood guy? Because as you would be able to appreciate, being a quarterback in the NFL, it's a lot of scrutiny, it's a lot of pressure. Being a black quarterback, I think even in 2020, is still, unfortunately, there's still a bit of a, I don't know if it's a stigma or whatever that word, but I think in some parts it's very tough for a black, and especially, like you say, flamboyant, wearing the hats and the hair. I guess just walk me through a little bit of what your work and what your relationship is like with Cam.
Yeah, I helped Cam prepare for the NFL Combine and also his pro days when he was coming out of college. I met Cam at a football clinic that I put on way back when he was, I think, like 14 years old before he went to high school. So his dad brought him to our camp because he wanted him to get some instruction from myself and James Harris and Doug Williams, who won the first Super Bowl at the Washington Redskins. So they followed us, and throughout that time, when Cam went to Auburn, he wins the Heisman Trophy, the national championship, his dad called me and said he wanted me to help get him ready for the NFL draft. So I did that, and he became the number one overall pick in the draft, went on to Carolina, you know, wins the MVP, goes to the Super Bowl. But during that time, he kind of evolved. He becomes this Superman character. He's just a very flamboyant guy and very expressive guy. When he scores touchdowns, he gives the ball to a young kid or he does some type of dance, whatever it might be. That's just Cam and his personality. As far as his personality off the field. He's a very giving guy. He has a great foundation that does a lot in the community. He's never been in any trouble or anything like that. He's just a big, big personality. So Carolina could deal with that because he kind of developed that as he was at Carolina for those 8 or 9 years. But now if you're going to go to another football team, does everybody want that on their football team? So that's what he has to try and figure out, and that's what a team has to try and figure out if they're going to sign him. Do we want all of that that comes along with Cam Newton to go along with the great football player that he is, but he also has his injury history? So there's a lot of questions surrounding Cam, but I'm saying, if he's very healthy and you sit him down and you talk about what your expectations are for him and vice versa, I think you're going to get another great quarterback that still probably has another 5-6 years left.
Warren, it's been great talking to you. I really appreciate the phone call this morning. Be well, stay dry, and stay warm out there in Seattle. And again, we'll all get through this COVID thing, and hope to see you one day.
Yeah, I was supposed to come up there last weekend for the Dinos fundraising dinner for their football team. I was going to be the keynote speaker, but it got canceled. So hopefully, if it gets postponed and the date gets moved, I'll be able to come up there and visit you guys. So I look forward to that. Calgary has always been a tough place for us to play, but you got great people there because you're in the province of Alberta, and I want to just wish everybody the best. Be safe, be healthy, and follow all the guidelines, and we can get through this thing.
Thanks, Warren. Appreciate you.
Take care, guys.